I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. Today, we've got features editor Ben.
Hello.
Writer Flora.
Hello.
And assistant editor of the Week Junior's monthly Science and Nature magazine, Kieran.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about how a paramedic learned to fly, the whales that have swum their way to freedom, and a day raising awareness of mental health. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether we should all start bowing and curtsying more. But before all of that, seeing as we're talking about a flying paramedic, if you could fly anywhere for the day, where would you go, Ben?
There's so many places I'd like to visit or revisit, but I've gone for the Piton Mountains in St. Lucia, where I have been, and I've picked it purely because I got to fly around them in a helicopter. So this way, I can not only visit an amazing place, but I can recreate that incredible flight that I enjoyed.
Lovely answer. Flora, how about you?
Well, I was sort of imagining a private jet situation where I'd be taken somewhere very remote and far north, somewhere very snowy, but it's a really beautiful sunny day. And I don't know, I just kind of hang around in the mountains a bit and then come back on my private jet.
I love that Flora's gone all in on the private jet there. And yeah. Kieran, how about you?
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of a fear of heights / flying, so I'm not going to go quite as far away as Flora or Ben. So I think I'm going to go up into the low highlands of Scotland. There's a particular place called Corrie Fee, which is sort of this bowl-like glen, and it's got a waterfall and a river, and it's beautiful. So I think I would fly up there and then very quickly fly back home again.
Okay, a little short journey. I genuinely found this quite a difficult question, to be honest. But then I realised I haven't seen much sunshine this year, so I would go somewhere very sunny. And I think also I want to see some Disney, so I think I'd go to Florida, Disney in Florida. I think that's my plan. Although I think I'd be tempted to stay longer than a day is the only tricky thing there. We also want to find out what is everyone's favourite fact from this week. Ben, what have you learned?
I've learned that when David Attenborough joined Instagram, he reached 1 million followers in just 4 hours and 44 minutes. That's the fastest ever for someone to reach 1 million followers.
That is incredibly quick. I feel bad. I am not one of those 1 million followers. Do you guys follow him?
No.
I rarely go on Instagram, but I would potentially follow him, you know, because he's going to go to some amazing places and there'll be some cool pictures.
Do you think it was David Attenborough himself that set up the Instagram account?
I would say there is as much chance of it being him setting it up as you having a private jet paid for by the Week Junior to take your trips.
I like to think it's just a little turtle who set up his account for him. Flora, how about you? What have you learned?
Well, I learned something which I probably should have learned a long time ago, and probably everyone who's listening to this already knows, that in the new James Bond film, No Time to Die, it will be Daniel Craig's last.
That kind of sounds familiar, but I feel like every film he's been in, it's like, is this the last one?
No, well, that's what I thought. I thought he'd done his last one, you know, 2 or 3 ago, but...
Yeah. I've got to say, Daniel Craig is the first Bond film I've ever watched all the way through, so I will be sad to see him go. Kieran, how about you?
I learned that the world record for the longest distance cycled whilst doing a wheelie is 2,839 miles. And to put that into some perspective, that would be like doing a wheelie from Land's End at the southern tip of the UK to John O'Groats at the northern tip, and then coming back again, and then going back again, and then going back again, and still having a little bit further to go. So it's a hugely long distance.
So I just want to point out, a wheelie is when you're on your back wheel, right?
Yes, so you've only got one wheel on the ground, the other one is up in the air.
Just the idea of how you can sustain that for that long, surely the laws of physics wouldn't let it happen.
I think they probably stopped quite a bit along the way. I think there was probably some rest and recuperation involved.
Now it's time for real or rubbish. Ben, I don't trust you at all. What have you got for me today?
Well, I've got something related to Star Wars, and it's about the actor Keira Knightley. Now, she was interviewed recently, and they asked her about her appearance in the 1999 Star Wars film The Phantom Menace when she was 12 years old. And she was asked about her character, and she said, "Wait a minute, was I not Queen Padme?" And the interviewer said, "No, You were not Queen Padme. She admitted she's only seen the film once, but she hoped the character she did play went on to live a long and happy life somewhere on a planet far, far away. Is this true? Did actor Keira Knightley forget which character she played in a Star Wars film?
Maybe Keira just should have a diary. Maybe she needs to be better. I don't know.
Check her IMDb page.
Yeah, just Keira, just get yourself a little file of facts. Right. I'll have a little think about that. And if you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, you can make your guess before the end of the show, and we can find out the answer together. Now it's time for our three favourite stories of the week. Flora, tell me, what is your big story this week?
So I've learned all about World Mental Health Day, which takes place on Saturday, the 10th of October, all around the world, as the name would suggest. And it's all about raising awareness around mental health. And this year's theme is Mental Health for All. So it's all about making sure that everyone can get the help that they need. In case anyone doesn't know, mental health just refers to the way that we think, feel, and behave. And it's very common for people to feel sadness, fear, stress, in relation to circumstances often. And these feelings, you know, will pass when circumstances change. But for some people, they don't pass, and they can develop and they can become bigger issues, more serious issues like anxiety or depression, which are just two examples of many, many mental health illnesses. So depression is when you feel sad for a long time, and depression comes in many different forms, but some symptoms are feeling very sad, feeling very tired, feeling kind of empty and just like nothing. You don't want to do anything that you wanted to do before. Meanwhile, anxiety, again, comes in many different forms, but it's a kind of worry and fear that just lingers with you and doesn't pass. And it might not be particularly rational. And yeah, when these problems don't go away, it's important that we know where we can get help and how we can work to improve our mental health. And that's really the point of World Mental Health Day. So this year has been particularly difficult for many people, adults and children. It's obviously been a really strange year with the coronavirus outbreak and all the lockdowns and coming out of lockdown, going back into lockdown, schools closing, people's routines have been totally changed. And I think a lot of people have just found it's taken a real toll on their mental health. One study by a charity called Mind of 16,000 people said that 60% of adults and 68% of young people said their mental health has got worse during lockdown. So this is why it's really important to raise awareness around the issue. And in terms of what you can do and how you can get help, there are loads of organisations that do look out for, especially young people, with their mental health. So in a lot of schools, there'll be organisations providing support. There's one organisation called Place to Be that works in a lot of schools. And its advice is that if you're having issues with your feelings, feeling unhappy or anxious, it's really important to talk to someone, like an adult who you trust. Could be in your family, or could be a family friend, a teacher, school counsellor, a doctor, or just talking to your friends. Anything that helps you kind of, yeah, unravel all the things that are going on in your head and that makes you feel better. Another top tip is finding an activity that you really enjoy, like a hobby or something that can just sort of take your mind away from the things it's fixating on. A little personal anecdote. I was in the north of England this week, and I just spent a lot of time outside. I went swimming in a very cold lake. I saw a red squirrel. I climbed a mountain, read a book, just switched off my phone. And I think, you know, it just made me feel incredibly positive, and just that, you know, life is really good and there's lots of great things to do. And I think that was a real sort of, it's a therapy in itself, getting outside. Those are just three top tips. Talking to others, finding something to really engage your mind, and getting outside.
Really good advice. I think you're right. Something to not be ashamed of, because a lot of people go through a similar thing. I think talking about it makes it easier.
Yeah, makes a huge difference.
And personally, I found not going on social media or turning off my phone a little bit, like you say, going outside and doing something. Flora, that's really great. Thank you so much. Really interesting. Kieran, how about you? What have you been finding out about?
My story this week has elements of health to it as well, but it sounds like something that has just flown off the pages of a Marvel comic book or from a superhero film. And it is about a new trial that has taken place in the Lake District involving a jet suit that could allow paramedics to fly to the top of mountains in order to help people who've injured themselves. And I particularly love this because the jet suit, which is a sort of jet pack that you put on your back and you can control it with your arms and your hands, it was invented by a guy called Richard Browning, who's been nicknamed the real-life Iron Man. So there's definitely superheroes involved here. And the trial has taken place, really, because the Lake District, whilst it's not a sort of huge geographical area, it's quite difficult if someone injures themselves for the emergency services to reach them, because they might be at the top of a hill or mountain. They might have fallen down into a valley. And so it can sometimes take quite a while for paramedics to reach them. So this idea of using a jetpack, of all things, came from staff members at the Great North Air Ambulance Service. And currently, they use helicopters in order to reach people who've injured themselves. However, this jet suit would allow them to do things much quicker, and it would allow a paramedic to just zoom straight there. They'd have a first aid kit, and they would be able to help the person who had hurt themselves. And so the trial took place with Richard Browning, this real-life Iron Man, and he was able to speed up to 32 miles per hour. He controlled his movements by sort of rotating his hands, and he proved, really, that this is not some futuristic idea, but something that could actually work, and it would allow paramedics to get to the top of a mountain within 90 seconds, as opposed to the usual time of around 30 minutes, which obviously is a huge difference for someone who has seriously hurt themselves. And so this was just a trial. It's nothing set in stone yet that they're going to do this forever. But according to those involved with the study, they were very happy with its progress, and they think that it could become something we see much more of in the near future.
I was expecting at the end of that for you to say, but is it real or is it rubbish? Because that just seems such an amazing story. And I know the lakes a little bit, and it is quite tricky to navigate around it. So that's a really exciting story.
It's really exciting. And you're right. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but when you think about it, this is the exact sort of thing where the development of jetpacks is actually helpful for us. You know, Richard Browning has set world records with his equipment, and it looks incredible. But this is a real life way that it can actually help us and could possibly save lives in the future. So it's a really exciting development.
That is really exciting. I love that. Now, Ben, tell me, what do you have this week?
Oh, I've got some more wonderful news, and it's about two beluga whales that have taken their first swim in open water after many years in captivity. There are a couple of these whales. They're 4 meters long. One's called Little White, one's called Little Grey, and they were moved from an aquarium in China to a sanctuary in Iceland back in August. Now, just getting them to Iceland was a massive job. 6,000 miles. And it took 30 hours to move them in a specially designed aeroplane, because moving whales is not very straightforward, as you can imagine. So when they got them there, they had to spend time helping Little White and Little Grey get used to their new surroundings. They'd been released into a large open water sanctuary, which is much more like their natural habitat, obviously. These whales have been captured when they were 2 years old and put in this aquarium, and they're now 12 years old. So they were there for a long time. They've spent most of their lives performing, so they don't know how to hunt, and because of that, they can't be released into the wild. They would not be able to fend for themselves. So in this sanctuary, staff will feed them and check their health, and the whales can just swim freely in this massive area. They've been exploring their new home. They've been following seabirds and chasing after fish, and it's hoped that more belugas can join them in the future.
That is a real feel-good story, Ben.
Oh, it's lovely. And beluga whales, if you look up pictures of them, they are, you know, they're quite unusual looking. They're a strange shape. They look a bit like a dolphin that's been inflated, I think. And I also discovered that they make lots of strange noises. So high-pitched whistles, clicks, and even raspberry noises like. So it's a bit of fun if you're around a beluga whale and it's making a lot of noise.
I never thought I'd get you to do a raspberry noise on the podcast, and yet here we are, Ben. That's what you've done, and I'm thrilled about it.
Only in the name of science.
Science and journalistic integrity. Big fan of that. Time for the big debate. So this week we are asking whether bowing and curtsying should be brought back. Who can tell me a little bit more about this?
I can tell you a bit more. This came about after in February, one of the UK's leading experts in viruses said that we need to do less of the handshaking, hugging and kissing because physical distance helps to prevent the spread of coronavirus. And people have been, when they meet in the street, they've been bumping fists together or touching their elbows together, sometimes tapping their toes together. And this prompted several different people to write articles in various papers. And one particular article in a magazine called The Idler suggested another way for people to greet. Let's bow, wrote Marcel Theroux, the journalist. Yes, bow, like a courtier before a monarch. So bowing is when men bow from their torso and dip their heads, and the equivalent for women is curtsying, where they bend their knee and also dip their head, and the gesture is sort of to say, you know, I'm not all that important. In East Asian countries like Japan, many people still bow as a way to greet each other and show respect, but in the UK it's gone out of fashion, and even when people meet the Queen, they're no longer expected to bow or curtsy. And for example, in 2009, Michelle Obama, who was the First Lady of the US, was pictured with her arm around the Queen. So what do you think? Should bowing and curtsying make a comeback?
Oh my goodness, I want to see that picture. I can't even imagine it. That's awesome. I'm very interested in this one because it might be a very good idea, but it might not be. It depends on who sways me either way, I suppose. I'll be challenging Kieran and Ben on this one. Now, Kieran, he's going to go first. He's going to say why bowing and curtsying should make a comeback. And I don't want to be the person to remind you guys, but there is a minute on the timer, right? You've got a clock nearby, haven't you?
Yes, I promise not to do a Vanessa or a Dave or a Flora or a etc.
And one day I'm going to have to get a little horn just to honk when the minute is up. But until then, I trust you both. So Kieran, when you're ready, take it away.
Well, I want to start by building on what Flora said, and that is that this year we've had to adapt to a new way of life as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. Many listeners will have been studying at home instead of school. At the Week Junior, we've been working from home instead of an office. So we have to change our ways to make sure that we're socially distancing from people. And bowing and curtsying is a great way to do this. Now, I'm not particularly interested in some of the old traditions related to it. I don't think it has to just be boys that can bow and girls have to curtsy. Anyone can do either or both in this future world that I'm creating. But there'll be no more awkward waves. There'll be no more attempted hugs that you suddenly go, oh my goodness, I can't hug you. And you, as you remember the social distancing rules. And besides, bowing and curtsying is fun. You know, for some people, it will be a representative of their culture. They will already be used to doing it. And for others, it might feel as though you're in a historical drama or you've just completed a jousting tournament. We need to have a bit of fun at the moment, and this is a way to do it.
Yes, you made it! Yes! And also, you brought jousting to an argument about bowing, so I'm just thrilled about that. Ben, do you think you can match Kieran's argument?
Obviously.
Well, humble as ever, when you're ready, take it away.
Now, Kieran is someone who is full of self-importance, so I can't imagine that he would want to bow to anybody, because the whole point of bowing in our culture is to tell the other person, you are more important than I am. And I don't think that's a good message for anyone to be sending. So bowing and curtsying need to be off the table. We should be looking to a point where physical contact is coming back rather than just looking to be replacing it. We were talking about mental health earlier, and Flora was saying how important that is. And things like hugs and kisses are massively important for people's mental health. We don't need to go back to the past. Why not? Let's just create these new ones. Maybe a fun salute. The fist bump is great. The little elbow tap is great. We should be looking to the future, creating new things, and not going back to things from the past that were never positive, that was all about telling people you were inferior.
oh my goodness, under a minute. And also, you slowed down at the end. Normally people speed up. You were so confident in your timing skills. Well, I'm a big fan of both of you because you kept under a minute, so thank you for that. Flora, what do you think of this?
Well, I think Ben's argument was pretty good. I especially like the idea of the fun salute. However, I actually am a bit biased. I don't know if I think, Bex, you might have to make the final call, obviously, because I actually wrote the debate, and I wrote it because I really firmly believe that bowing and curtsying should be brought back.
Interesting. Well, I've got to...
So I don't think I was ever going to be swayed.
Okay, so you were always going to be on Kieran's side.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I have got to say, I like the idea of a little bow. I think it's very nice. I think it's a universal language because, like we mentioned, like Kira mentioned, a lot of other cultures do it as well. And I'm also all for something that tries to negate that. You know, when you go in for a hug with someone, but they're trying to kiss you on the cheek, or you go to like shake
so
their hand. Oh, man, it's so awkward. So I do like Ben's idea of a salute, though. But I think Kieran might have just about pipped it. But of course...
Bex, if you want to know awkward, when someone goes in for a hug and the other person bows and headbutts them, then you really know awkward.
Ah, you've raised a good point. Well, this is where, luckily, I don't have final say on this. Our listeners do. So let us know what you think. Go respond to the poll right now. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email your thoughts to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. You can even include a video clip explaining what side of the debate you support, and we might play it out in next week's show. So last week, we debated on the podcast whether it's better to cook food that goes further. Most of you were in favour of the idea, with 77%, that is just over three quarters if my maths is correct, they voted yes, compared to the 23% who voted no. So here's some of your comments.
Ooh, do you know what? I had leftovers for dinner last night and they were spectacular. Now, some of our listeners were strongly in favour of leftovers. One wrote, of course, leftovers are always good and you can have them instead of buying a ready meal which comes in plastic. Henry emailed to say, I agree with the debate because it helps the environment by reducing waste and it always tastes nicer the next day.
But not everyone was quite so keen. One pop jammer told us, I think you can eat leftovers as long as it isn't every day, as it can become unhealthy for you. Another was more firmly against the idea, writing, no, because leftovers don't always taste as nice.
Ultimately, though, a lot of listeners were in favour of leftovers because they were easier. So one person wrote, yes, because you can have them when you want instead of having to wait for food to be cooked. Another said, I say yes for big families because it can be hard having to cook all the time. Great comments, thank you.
Well said, Kieran. Right, so remember, get involved. You can grab a grown-up and record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate. Send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we might play it out on next week's show. Before we go, it's time to reveal our real or rubbish story. Ben, can you remind me of what it was, please?
Yes. Actor Keira Knightley, who was in the 1999 Star Wars film The Phantom Menace, was interviewed recently, and it turned out she had forgotten which part she played in the film. She was asked about her character, and she said, wait a minute, was I not Queen Padme? And she wasn't. Is this true? Did she actually forget the character, or is it one plot twist too many?
Now, I think Keira Knightley is a very professional actor. I think she, you know, she maybe has a room at home dedicated to all of the awards that she's won, all of the costumes she's worn. But I'm going to say it's... But also, why would you reveal it? Why would you tell somebody that in an interview? Why would you say, I don't know what I was doing? I'm going to say it's rubbish, Ben. That's going to be my answer. That's it.
Okay, yeah. Well, drum roll, please. It's real.
What?
During an interview, Keira Knightley did admit she'd forgotten which character she played in the film. She thought that she had played Queen Padme, but she had actually played the character of Sabe, who was a handmaiden to Queen Padme. And she admitted she had only seen the film once and didn't remember much about making the film. She said she remembered falling asleep on set and she remembered having to wear a headdress that was so heavy it gave her a headache. Now, she was 12 when she made that film in 1999. She's made a lot of films since then. Obviously, she is a very accomplished actor. She's not the sort of person who would have trouble following a script. She is somebody who has played a lot of parts, and I don't want to spoil things if you've not watched The Phantom Menace and you plan on watching all the Star Wars films, but her character is important and is very, very closely connected to Queen Padme. So I can see how she got mixed up, but it is a little bit embarrassing.
Can you imagine, though, a nap being more memorable to you than your actual character that you played?
Well, try watching the film.
No, thank you. I've heard about it, and I think I'll be fine without it in my life. I, you know, I really like Keira Knightley, so I'm going to forgive her because I feel like she's been a busy girl. You know, she's done a lot of stuff, hasn't she? But I also just like the idea that she kind of admitted it. She was like, "What was I not? Oh, okay." And she'll probably be going back to her Wikipedia entry as we speak, like we said before, on IMDb, on Wikipedia, just double checking everything. So that is it for the Week Junior Show this week. Goodbye to Ben.
Goodbye.
To Flora.
Bye.
And Kieran.
Goodbye.
Remember, drop us a comment on Pop Jam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk to get involved. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code podcast.